Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And all I can say is, it is a great word this morning. We're talking David, we're talking the temple, we're talking Solomon, we're talking, you know, scoffers and sinners and all these things. You know, we're talking folks who think they are that, false prophets who think they can their way into heaven. But the word that God gave me this morning, whew, hallelujah, money can buy the gift of God. And the gift of God is the Holy Spirit, and it cannot be purchased. It is a gift that is given. Hallelujah. And given when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For when we are baptized, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are given all things. I thank God for his spirit. I thank God for Christ Jesus who loved me, my friend, my best friend, who loves me more than anything. And I love him best more than anything. All I can do is say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Let's not waste it. I'll throw it away. Father God in heaven, we are thankful and grateful and blessed to be called children of God. Father God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. Father, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, Father God. And you and I am redeemed by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved me and all the world to die for us and to be risen for us, to take the keys to hell. He is great mediator. He is our absolute. He is Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I lift up this word, God, asking you to forgive me for anything said, not said, seen, unseen, spoken, unspoken, done knowingly and done unknowingly. I ask forgiveness before I go forth with your word, God. And I ask you, God, for peace in the midst of chaos. For sunshine in the midst of the storm. For all things to work for good, Lord God, as we are called by your sentence. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I lift up this mighty word today, giving honor to God who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. There is no way on this green earth that I could do this without the Lord on my side. So I thank God for giving me strength, for waking me up in the morning, for helping me to move forward in his word. This is my time with God. My daily time with God is to wake up, read his word, and study it. And I thank God for Dr. Charles Stanley. I would be remiss if I did not thank that awesome man of God for this wonderful Bible, the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And this Bible has changed my life with understanding more of the Word. You can go to college You can get that degree in theology. You can do all those things. You can go and you can get your bachelor's and your master's and all of those. But it means absolutely nothing if you don't understand what you got that education in. And I can tell you that this word that Dr. Stanley has written has opened my eyes to so many things and so much more understanding of the word, which is life lessons and what the Bible says and life questions. It has truly blessed me, and I pray that this word blesses you as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me this morning. Let's get into the word. We're moving forward. And it says this, now it came to pass, and I am coming out of 1 Chronicles chapter 17 through chapter 18, verse 17, Psalms the 78 and verses 17 through 25, Proverbs chapter 19, verses 25 through 26, and our title word is coming out of Acts chapter 8. Hopefully everybody's got their Bible. I am coming out of the New King James Version, but my King James readers, you should be able to follow me very well. And it says, now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains. Then Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, what have you not, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house, and it shall be when the days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him who was before you, and I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? I got to read that again, because, you know, every time I hear this, I always hear, friend of God, who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Thank you, Israel. Also, for the theme of the show moving forward comes from Israel Houghton and New Breed, and I just thank him. That song got me through. And this week, on July 1st would have been my 45th wedding anniversary. And all I can say is the 32 years I had were pretty doggone good. And I thank God for these last 12, even though I've been single, it's been me spending more time with God, getting into ministry, getting my degree, all these things in theology. I had a bachelor's in communications, but I thank God for the education. I thank God for his time. I thank God for everything that he's done in my life in these 12 years going on 13. So 45 years would have been a great time. But I know that God loved him best. So I thank God for the time that I had. And I thank God for the time that I've had in these years with him. So let's get back to this word again. And it says, then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree. O Lord God, what more can David say to you for the honor of your servant? For you know your servant, O Lord, for your servant's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears, and who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning, let it be established forever, and do as you have said. So let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God, and have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. After this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines, subdued them, and took Gath and its towns from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab and the Moabites because David's servants and brought tribute. And the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. And David defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath. And he went to establish his power by the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers. Also David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David forever, wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, also from Tebeth and from Shun. Cities of Hadadar, David brought a large amount of bronze, with which Solomon made the bronze beams, the pillars, and the articles of bronze. Now, when Chu, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadar, king of Zobah, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him, because he had fought against Hadadar and defeated him. But Hadadar had been at war with Chu, and Hadoram brought with him all kinds of articles of gold, silver, and bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and gold that he had brought from all these nations, from Edom, from Moab, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zerah, killed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel and administered judgment and justice to all his people. Joab, the son of Zerah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ehud, Zadok, the son of Etab, and Abimelech, the son of Abiathar, was the priest. Shavashai was the scribe. Benaniah, the son of Joadiah was over the Sherites and the Korathites. And David's sons were chief ministers of the king's side. At the king's side. Wow. And I have a couple of things from this book. From this chapter. These chapters. First, better plans. What the Bible says about better plans. Because David was making plans to build a house for the Lord. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in this, what the Bible says about better plans. He had come a long way from the sheep pen as King David and the beautiful carving cedar panels and gold implement of his palace. He thought of how different his life was and how far God had brought him. Yes, it was the Lord who had done all of it, all the victories, the successes, the wealth, the peace. Yet David felt the picture was still incomplete. I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent curtain. Verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 17. He said to Nathan the prophet, the holy ark of the covenant, the place where the presence of God would appear, deserves better. The Lord was worthy to be honored after all he had done for Israel. How could David dwell in such opulence and not build a house for the one who had given him everything? Yet the Lord's response surprised him. You shall not build me a house to dwell in. David's son Solomon would build the temple, but God had different plans for David. Was David wrong for wanting to build a house for the Lord? Of course not. He wanted to honor God, and that is always a good thing. However, as David no doubt learned from Samuel the prophet, to obey is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:22. And that word right there, I've been teaching our children in children's ministry. To obey is better than sacrifice. We know what happened to Saul. When he decided he was going to do the sacrifice because Samuel was late as far as Saul was concerned. Samuel didn't give Saul a time. He just told him I'll be there on the seventh day. Started getting antsy, started listening to he said, she said, and forgot to do what God said. And decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. And disobeyed what Samuel told him. All he had to do was wait. And he didn't. And that's why God said in the word, to obey is better than sacrifice. We all have our moments where we forget who is in charge of our life. And it is not me, it's not you, it is only God. We got to follow what God said to do. We got to obey. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than losing everything you have. because the enemy is busy trying to kill, steal, and destroy your peace, to destroy your love of God, to destroy your hope in the future. That is his job, and he does it well. And he will use anything to mess you up and anybody. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything, because the enemy knows exactly what your weakness is. Hallelujah. God loves it when our desire is to exalt him. But there are times he will say no to our plans in order to accomplish more important things through us. We know that was true with David. 1 Chronicles 18:3 tells us he went to establish his power by the river Euphrates, which fulfilled God's promise to Abraham. To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Ephrat, of the Ephraites. David strengthened Israel by defeating the Philistines, Moabites, Aramim. He also collected many of the materials that were ultimately used in the temple. Sometimes it will be true with us as well. God will stop us from doing something we believe is good to accomplish something better for his kingdom. Just remember, you don't have to think up pious acts to please God. Your obedience pleases him immeasurably. So listen to the Lord and make sure that whatever you do for him comes first from him. You got to pray. You got to pray first. Don't go running willy-nilly here and there and everywhere without prayer. Nope, you got to pray. You know, you can't say, oh, well, I'm going to do this, that, and the other without prayer, because God will mess up your plans real quick and in a hurry. You know, I had made plans to take my mom to see my sister, but my aunt, who was going with me, can't go now. And God, my mom is really wanting to go, and I've been praying and praying about it, and Lord sent somebody to say they would go with me, so I would, because I don't want to drive by myself. What a mighty God we have, that he will put someone else in place. Because some things are divine assignments. Some things are from God that you got to just be still and watch God work. Watch God work. I'm trusting God for some miracles today. In 1 Chronicles 17 is my house, that you have brought me this far. God values genuine humility more than we can possibly imagine. As King David had a strong sense of self, but he gladly bowed down to the real king, the Lord of hosts. God acts for our benefits, not because we have earned his favor or deserve his grace, but because his loving heart desires to bless those who have given him their heart. David gave God his heart. God gave David peace. Who am I, Lord? David humbled himself before God. He wasn't trying to buy his way into heaven. He wasn't trying to buy the Holy Spirit. He wasn't trying to buy anything. He wanted to build a house for the Lord because he loved him, because he was a friend of God. All this, but God, what does God have? He has a tent. I have this beautiful home, but why is God dwelling in a tent? I want to build him a house too. And God said, no, it's not your assignment. But I'm sure it was hard for David to know that God wouldn't allow him to build him a house, especially when he looked around and saw his own home. God is in charge of everything. And as you go, you cannot purpose anything from God. And it says in 1 Chronicles 18:8, David brought a large amount of bronze with which Solomon made the bronze sea, the pillars and the articles of bronze. God did not allow David to build the temple, but he did allow him to make preparations for it and to provide many of his supplies. Even when he says no, God shows us his grace. David said, I may not be able to build the temple, but I sure can buy the supplies for it. And David started making preparations, including doing the design for the temple of God. So all Solomon had to do was get the workmen, which God had already provided. Everything that Solomon needed to build God's temple, God had already put it in place, including the workmen who would make the curtains, who would iron out or make the sea and everything. It was already planned out. He's in charge. David was not trying to purchase salvation. David wasn't trying to purchase anything. All David was doing was showing love to his father. That's all God wants from us, is to show our love and appreciation for his grace. To show our love and appreciation for the gifts that he has given us. To show our love and appreciation for what a mighty God we serve. In our 78th Psalm, verses 17 to 25. And again, this is a Psalm of Asaph. David was dictating, I believe, some of these Psalms. But it says it's a contemplation of Asaph. And it says, but they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. He's talking history. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their vanity. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. That's the God we serve. Even in our rebellion, he blesses us. Even in our discontent, he blesses us. The children of Israel were hot messes. I'm just going to call them what they were. They were hot messes. Always whining and complaining about everything. You get manna from heaven. God says you got 6 days to do it. Seventh day, you rest. On the sixth day, you make sure you get enough for today and for tomorrow. But nope, you always got that one, huh? I'm going out and getting mine today. Sabbath was holy. And God said you don't keep it that way. And so didn't find nothing. Not a morsel. Not anything. And then you had the hoarders. God said, eat it all in one day. No, I'm going to keep me some for later on because I'm going to have this around midnight. And what did you have but a pile full of maggots? God told you what to do. But then you'll do your own thing and wonder where the maggots came from because you didn't do what God said. Dude, come on now. We're going to keep it real. And it goes on to say, strike a scoffer, and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Ooh, that's pretty deep. But we already know that there are so many things going on in this world that just blows your mind. So much hatred, so much bigotry, so much of foolishness. And I was listening to the Joe Madison show yesterday morning, and they were talking about a synagogue where this group of neo-Nazis thought it was fine to come and stand in front of it with their Nazi flag, viewing hatred. We got to stop. We've got to stop. All this foolishness is not of God. All this hatred and bigotry is not of God. You cannot buy your way into heaven, and you definitely can't buy it on a wave of supremacy. There is only one supreme being, and that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which are one, and you cannot replace them. We better understand. God sees everything you do, things done in the light and things done in the dark. If you're trying to hurt God's children, you better back it up. And you wonder why things are going right for you, back it up. Leave God's people alone. Quit trying to buy your way into heaven on rhetoric and foolishness and idolatry and thinking you are supreme. Nobody is more supreme than the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We got to fall in line and know who we belong to. Who do you belong to? Do you belong to the world or do you belong to God? Do you belong to some political party or do you belong to God? Is politics and people in political positions more important than God? Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself? But are you loving God more than anything? Whatever God asks you to do, are you doing what he says do? Or are you doing you? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. For he is watching and he is waiting for us to come into his holy house. But the one thing he wants you to understand is you cannot buy your way into his holy house. You cannot have a step of them, hey, I got to heaven. No, don't work like that. You can't buy your way in. The rich man Lazarus found that out. As Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, in the comfort of heaven. And the rich man said, can you just give me a little drink of water? And Abraham had to tell him, nope, this schism can't be crossed. He can't come down to you and you can't come up to him. And he's like, tell my brothers, too late. Your brothers need to find out for themselves. Because right is right, wrong is wrong. They probably never even noticed that poor Lazarus had even died. But standing back, no, I'm not doing that either. We got to understand that what God's word is a true word, and we need to listen. And as Saul is about to, he's just showing out right now. This is before his transformation from Saul to Paul. And he needed a transformation. He had stood there and watched that angel Stephen be killed. He had stood there holding the garments of his murderers. And with glee watching this Christian, this man of the way, because Christianity did not exist. It was the way. They were part of the way. And every time I hear, I watch, I'm a sci-fi, all those that have been with me know I love sci-fi. I love the Star Wars and the Star Trek. I am a fan of Marvel Comics. And I will tolerate some DC. But I love the new Star Wars sagas that are coming out. And my favorite was Mandalorian so far. And I love the Mandalorian because it was, this is the way. And we know that the way is the truth and the life, and it is Jesus. It's the way. And we got to know it's the way to heaven. You can't buy your way there. You can only get there by accepting as a Lord and Savior. and he will give you the miracle of the Holy Spirit for free. Guess what? For free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to have all the diamonds and the gold and the silver. All you have to do is give him you. Thank you, Lord, for that word. And it says, now Saul was consenting to give death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And let's call this church, you kill some folks. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Well, you got the sneaky, slimy snake Saul trying to slime in and get people. I'm going to get them. Because he was a Sadducee, and he had a certain belief system, and it was not the way. And it goes on to tell us, but there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of the mayor, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. He was not a power of God. He was a sorcerer, full of the devil. Wasn't God. God was not in Simon's mess. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Again, now there's greed, there's jealousy, there's a covetousness that he's looking at. Just wrong in spirit. And it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. And it says, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they had only been baptized in the Father and the Son. And they had not been given the Holy Spirit. Whew. And then it goes on to tell us, and when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands of the Holy Spirit, the hand of the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, said, give me this power, also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Show his hand. Moment with God. This moment knowing that God loves us so much that he just thinking about this man trying his best to buy what is freely given. All you had to do was just stand still, be quiet for a minute, and allow the Holy Spirit to come into his heart, into his mind, into his soul. He got greedy. Give me this power, also that anyone of whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter, y'all know Peter. Peter didn't play that. Peter was not one that was going to mess around. Peter said, I done been there. I done that. I had the wrong attitude. I denied my Savior. But now, I will fight. I will die for Jesus. And I'm not going to let a charlatan come in and get what God has freely given. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you. He cursed him. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. So our title comes from this morning. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, or your heart is not right in the sight of God. You got folks that are right now, that all they do is try to get more money, more money, more money, preaching the word of God, but it's not about God. It's about how much money they can get, how much they can bastardize the word to get more and more and more for themselves, where folks are going to hell because they're preaching a fake word. They're false teachers preaching a false word, not the word of God. And God is getting sick and tired of being it, because Peter, he's going to send a Peter to rebuke and to bind them spirits of lust for money. Because even, well, remember, the beggar said, silver and gold have we not. But what did they do? They gave him the gift of God, and he was able to walk, to leap, to jump, to praise, hallelujah, and became a follower of the Most High, a member of the way, hallelujah. It is the way, y'all, to learn it. It is the way. How do we get the Holy Spirit? We give ourselves away for God to use him, and he will send his spirit down. To take a minute to just be quiet and listen for the voice of God to speak to you. I had to take a minute just now to be quiet, to listen, to hear what thus says the Lord, and for the Lord to speak through me. Hallelujah, Lord, thank you. And if you go into the rest of this word, you have neither part nor portion in this manner, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Can I buy it? Your money. Peter told him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased in money. It cannot be. Doesn't want your silver. God doesn't want your gold. God is one but belongs to him. And the word of God tells us to repent. Therefore, this your wickedness and pray God is perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Because you got to think about this thing. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Peter saw right through it. Because, oh, let me get baptized. I'm being baptized. I'm being baptized with the masses, you know, but that sorcery spirit was still in him. And then when he saw the laying of hands, oh, my goodness, I can buy that. And then with what I already have, oh, I can make some money. Proper lying and proper stealing and fake messages. And it goes on to tell us, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come spoke upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And it goes on to tell us in life lessons from chapter 8 and 3, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. We talk of Saul. Lost his proverbial mind. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, could never forget that he had persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Galatians 1:13. Partly for this reason, he called himself the chief of sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. Just think about it. Paul was something else. Excuse me. Saul was something else. Just didn't care. Because in his mind, his way was the right way. We see this mentality. We saw it in January 6th of 2021. We saw it, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. We saw it in Charlotte. We saw it with George Floyd. We see it every day with signs and symbols of hatred. We got to pray. And he tells us in Acts 8:4, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So what you thought you was destroying, all you was doing was sending out the evangelists. As you persecuted and they left, you just sending them out all over the land. The way you sent them out to preach the way of God. And it says God is an expert at using even hardship and suffering for his glory and our benefit. The opponents of Christ intended that in their persecution, wipe out the church, instead it spread it rapidly. In Acts 8:23, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. We do not know if Simon the sorcerer made a big error as a baby Christian or whether he had never truly come to faith. But in either case, Peter rebuked him sharply, not to condemn him, but to rescue him. Peter probably rescued. Simon thought he could buy what he could be given to. We don't have to buy God's affection. We don't have to buy God's love. All we have to do is accept it and know that he loved us as his friend. Are you a friend of God? For he is mindful of you. David spoke, who am I that you are mindful of me? God is what he told us. I am Jehovah. I am the Most High. I am the Word. And if we go back into our prayer for today, new heart. Simon needed a new heart. Saul needed a new heart. And we all in our lives need new hearts. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John 7:38. It's an infinite one. You are the source of living water. Thank you, Jesus. Your refreshing fountain of life revives even the most destitute soul. Thank you for freely flowing in and through me. What a wonderful gift. Not only am I brought to life in you, but this same power gushes out of me. King of kings, you are the originator of all the greatness we see, and yet you are so much better. May I not hoard the life in my heart, causing the water to grow stale. Lord, I know that your kingdom is ever increasing. May I freely offer all that you have given me, not keeping the restorative life you have given a secret. As I live my life generously, I trust that you will continue to pour out your life-giving love over me. In you, my heart has come alive. Thank you for making me new. I offer you all the praise I have. You are so worthy. What a flowing from your heart is flowing from your heart today. It's the Holy Spirit flowing out of you. It's the love of God flowing out of you. Do you have hope in the future, knowing that God loves you more than anything? Thank God today that you can't buy his gift with money. Thank God today that you can only open up your heart to give him praise and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whew, for lighting up my life. For putting a fire in my soul and a praise in my heart. Thank God daily. Meditate on his word. Study to show yourself approved and spread the word. We are the way. We are the truth. We are the life. Because Jesus is in us. And we are his servants to do his will. Not my will, but his will. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord. Let us give it up. Speak the way. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith. And don't worry about what he says, she says, or they say it. Just lift your hand and say, Lord, I will do what you say. In Jesus' name. That's all I got. If there's anybody else out there that would like to have a word from God, I would like to, the number one on your phone, or push talk on your social media. And what does God say to you? Give a girl a DM and let me know what you think and what God is putting in your heart. Let God use you for his glory, for his power, for his strength. Speak the ways that God gives you. Evangelize. Open that book and not just on Sunday. But this book is the lifeblood of your soul. Keep it in your heart and in your mind. Because it may come a day that they will try to ban it just like they are in Utah. They may try to ban it over this country. We've got to hold on to God's intention. Hold on to the word of God. It is going to be in your heart to know that God's word is true. We got to stand on it. And you can't purchase God's love. You can't purchase Jesus Christ. You can't purchase the Holy Spirit. You don't have enough gold for it. You don't have enough silver for it. You have not enough platinum for it. The only thing you can do is freely give yourself away. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit and watch God work in you. thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, family. That's all I have. May the Lord watch between me and thee. Pray over you and yours. I'm all filled up. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Take a minute to just be quiet and ask God to come into my life. Take control of whatever it is that I have to say for you today. Lord, help me to let your light shine in me. Lord, remove all darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Before, hold on. My first closing. My second is about as we get a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. Don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. And be blessed. And that is my third or fourth, I don't know, and final closing. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.